Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready?
Push up button.
Yes. I'm disappointed we're playing this music and not your most rugbyest time of the year song, JB.
I can't believe I lost it.
I've lost it. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. This podcast, the second in your feed this week. Hit subscribe and they'll all be downloaded straight to your phone so you can enjoy them all. If you're wanting to hear about the Premiership and all the other stories in the rugby week, we've done that already. It's in the feed. This one is about the Six Nations. Our preview in the most rugbyest time of the year. Phil, it's a special time of year, isn't it?
Always. It's always exciting because the days are getting a bit longer, getting a bit lighter at night.
It is
a little bit warmer. Just hints of what the possibilities that could be there, and the Six Nations starts. I love the Six Nations.
These are my fondest rugby memories, Six Nations. Not for the actual Six Nations itself, but the memories I have being at the rugby club, finishing the game, and then watching Six Nations. And I used to think Wales had it better, because when I was playing for Colwyn Bay, we'd actually have these weeks off completely so we could all get together and watch the rugby. Mm. I think it works better in England, where you play and then you enjoy it afterwards as a group of mates.
Yeah, if you play at, say, 2:30 or 3 o'clock and then there's a 5 or 5:30 kick-off, perfect.
Quite often clubs go, Six Nations, we'll do a 1 p.m.
kick-off.
An earlier kick-off.
Yeah, they do. Well, in my formative years, the drill was very much meet at Lim Services, get in a car with two of your mates from North Wales and then get to Cardiff as quick as you could. So if you finish work at 5, you're hopefully in the car for 6:30. As quick as you could be on the beers in Cardiff for 8:00.
Careful.
Sometime that night. And the two guys in the back seat could easily devour a whole crate of beer by the time you got there.
Wonderful. I actually remember, and some of my real fond formative rugby memories are watching Five Nations.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember when it became Six Nations when I was in school.
So it was 1990. Sure. Was it 2000?
Well, I remember my school took a bus from North Wales. I'm sure they went to watch Italy versus Scotland. That was the first Six Nations game. Oh. Was it not?
I would not go to Italy on a bus. It's like those people that went to watch Liverpool in... where was it?
Turkey?
One of the lads I work with...
Oh, yes!
So flights were like £1,000. They played in Kiev.
Kiev, that's
Ukraine.
It.
I'm not sure they'd be doing that.
Have you noticed everyone started saying, it's Kiev.
Kiev.
Like K-Y-I-V now.
Hmm. Yeah. Gives.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he went, it was £1,000 for flights, and he just couldn't afford it, but he had tickets to the game. So for £200 at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning, he boarded a bus at Anfield,
drove
all day through England, I think got the Channel Tunnel, all day through France, all day through through Germany. Got to Warsaw, I think, the Friday mid-afternoon on the Friday. Had a few hours in Warsaw.
Oh, the gastro of the world.
I think he got a Pizza Hut in Warsaw on his release after 36 hours in a bus. Had a Pizza Hut in Warsaw. Got back on the bus all night Friday, all day Saturday, and got to the stadium like an hour before kickoff.
No.
Watch the game an hour after. So an hour before kickoff, he gets to the stadium. An hour after full time, he gets back on the same bus and travels for another 50-something hours.
That driver is a legend.
I think there was three or four of them to make the journey worse.
So a friend of ours, his dad... well, we don't know what his dad does, but let's call him a spy, because that's what everyone calls him. he travelled... was it for Christmas?
Drove back from Bulgaria.
From Bulgaria, in a taxi. But because the... Bulgaria, to where did they go to? Like... I'm not sure. It was like thousands and thousands of miles over land. Literally thousands and thousands of miles over land. Because it's so long, him and the taxi driver just shared the driving.
Wow. I'd love to know the cost of...
A Bulgarian... This is probably like the early 80s.
Yeah, it was
Bulgarian taxi driver in the early 80s. It probably wouldn't have been that expensive.
Probably paid him like with fresh milk or something. And a chicken, and a live
coffee.
Chicken.
His annual salary on that one gig.
Yeah, it probably wasn't far off.
He probably waved that fellow off with tears in his eyes. Yeah. See you later.
It was like Bulgaria to, I want to say Romania or somewhere. Or something
I think it's much further than that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, going to Cardiff is a similar sort of distance on the front.
Bulgaria, if they take rugby seriously, they'll be great because they've got some powerful fellas.
They most certainly have. Last one on this. Here's a cool place to watch your Six Nations if you are in the area. London Welsh Rugby Club. They've got a little marquee, and last time I went there, you couldn't actually buy tickets on the door or online. You actually had to phone somebody up and give you bank details, and they'd post, not bank details, card details, and they'd post you the tickets, and I'm sure that has changed. But that was the year Mike Phillips scored Wales, what are you doing? Wales, what have you done? Or whatever it was, and the Grand Slam was won.
When was that? 2011?
I think it was Gatland's first Grand Slam. Because all of the Ospreys played.
2008? Is that?
Maybe, yeah. All of the Ospreys played, except for... Mark Jones... No. The winger, Mark Jones?
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Jones, maybe? No, it wasn't Stephen Jones, because the halfbacks were from the Ospreys. And there's one other guy.
Hmm.
Is everything okay, JB?
Got an error message.
No, we look okay. We'll just carry on for now.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, Six Nations 2022. Can I just say what I love about the fact the Six Nations comes around? The broader media suddenly take an interest and start writing stories like this. I've got a... let me just read you the first bit from the Daily Mail. It's the headline, Eddie Jones warns Scotland that England are coming for them ahead of the Six Nations clash. And it starts like this. Eddie Jones has lit the fuse on a fiery build-up to the start of the Six Nations by warning Scotland, his England players, are coming for them and saying he expects to get abuse at Murrayfield. The coach has upped the ante ahead of the Calcutta Cup in Edinburgh next weekend, saying... Wait for it. This is what Eddie Jones is saying. This is what this whole article is based around. The coach has upped the ante ahead of the Calcutta Cup in Edinburgh next week, saying his young squad will relish the challenge.
What?
That has really lit the fuse.
Oh, my word. Stop it. Stop it now.
I love it.
Ridiculous.
But the Calcutta Cup, I want to start there because this is massive. And Scotland are Eddie Jones' bogey team. They really are.
Yeah. Well... They've played some nice rugby against him. That's a fair thing to say.
They've only won one of the last four Calcutta Cup games.
Yeah, they've played some nice rugby, like the comeback in the 37-all draw.
God,
they've also played some hard rugby, like the win, was it last year or the year before, in bad conditions, where they ground out a really, really physical win.
I don't know where to stand on England, really. I mean, I've always said, I say this every year, and my stance will never change. England should be the best rugby team on the face of the earth, except for maybe France or South Africa. Maybe those three should sort of rotate based on their player depth.
There's two areas. Back row, centre partnership. Go, Phil.
Ooh, back row. Curry, Laws, and... Awesome. not particularly nice.
Well,
news
forget about Laws
because
he won't be playing.
Definitely,
he's done.
So he's been doing HIA return to play, hasn't he?
He'll be. I don't think you'll see him until at least the third game. That's what. I'd say.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, Underhill's not in the squad, but there's some tough news for Underhill. Last couple of weeks.
Why was that?
He's having an extended break because he's had 4 concussions in 8 months. Which is not good.
No, that's the officially not good.
That is definitely not good. Curry.
Laws, Curry and...
So, Laws, if he's fit. If not... if not, I'd be saying, well, move Itoji to 6 to do the Laws role.
Yep.
And put in one of Launchbury or Cruis. But obviously neither of those two are available. Itoji has to play in the second row because the other second row, so Johnny Hill and Itoji will play, and then behind them you've got Charlie Yules and Ollie Chessam. So you've not got really...
I would go Chessam before Yules every day of the week.
Really
every
like
every single day of the week.
Unless... Because Ezekwe is in the squad now because he got called up. Unless they do that, but I wouldn't have thought so.
It's not as... Suddenly... We've got all these incredible back row talents and stuff, and the second row particularly. We said on the other podcast we're missing Launchbury and all crews, but
yeah,
it doesn't look as great. No. Now.
So let me fix this for you.
So Curry's in the back row.
Curry definitely.
And I'm saying Dom Brandt's number 8
with the what's available. If Laws is definitely out, I would probably go Curry at 6, Simmons at 7, Dom Brandt at 8.
Wow.
I would, and then Barbary on the bench.
Wow.
I would say...
That's so explosive.
I think...
Curry...
That's with what's available, I think that's what I'd do.
The problem you got there
Ludlam,
is...
Ludlam, you're missing out on.
Yeah, Ludlam in the squad, Ezekwe's there. Chessam could do it, but... I'm not sure I'd want him to start
Ludlam
at 6.
At Murrayfield, when England narrowly won in some bad conditions, didn't he score the winning try? The one win under Eddie Jones that England have had. I seem to remember. Or am I remembering the one where Scotland narrowly won, but Lewis Ludlam scored. Anyway.
Who knows?
Now, just on the England squad, George Martin was playing for Leicester today, so he's obviously not in there.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the squad.
Well, that sort of throws me completely.
Yeah.
Is he going to start Chessam or Ezekwe?
It's possible.
Chessam for me.
If Laws is out, he could do.
That's a big
but
call, that.
Unless he moves Yules to the second row and puts Itoji at 6, which I can see that happening.
Sadly, I can as well. Because I think Yules is a perfectly adequate player, but he's no international in my book.
Mm.
Actually, let me just rephrase
that. He's a tight at 8. He's packed down at 8.
Exactly. Let me just rephrase that on Yules, because I heard Austin Healey say something this week which struck a chord with me on England centres, and he was talking about 12 trees, and Eakin said, why do you think was it Alistair?
It was Nick Mullins.
Was it Nick who did all of them?
Yeah.
Did all three games?
He did
Newcastle-Gloucester. Yeah, it was Nick, right? And Nick said, Austin, tell me about his England career. Well, why didn't he go further? Austin just wasn't good enough. And I thought, yeah, that's a typically blunt but accurate answer from Austin. I thought, no, actually, that's probably not right, is it? Because what 12 Trees highlights to me, 12 Trees is an international centre. He's definitely an international centre, but he's just not for England. So he could have been an international for Wales for like 40, 50 caps.
But that also means Austin's answer is 100% because he's English.
Yeah.
So,
but what in my mind it does is it highlights the problem that England have is because they've got so many riches.
Yeah.
They can't really afford to stick with a guy who's underperforming, and you end up with just this huge churn of really excellent players and nobody settling down.
Well, which is why we pointed out a few weeks ago England have only got 2 players with over 100 caps.
Yeah.
In the men's team, of course. Jason Leonard and Ben Youngs.
But
they're the only two who've made it, because there's always the embarrassment of riches, and there will always be someone competing for that spot.
But then the problem comes when you get Stuart Lancaster. He's like, yeah, obviously I can see his problem, boys. Let me only pick these same guys over and over again. And then he gets absolutely barracked and goes out in the...
I still maintain he did a good job and a necessary job, because you've got to remember what came before Stuart Lancaster.
I don't think I agree. Well,
Eddie Jones...
yeah.
Eddie Jones... built upon the foundations which Lancaster laid.
I think you could have. You didn't have to have Stuart Lancaster, but I think he was of long term benefit to England because I totally agree those foundations were laid by Lancaster.
I have a different interpretation of this story. So, anyway,
we don't need to go over that. We've got many podcasts which you can find in our feed.
And as my analogy to Sale, Lancaster is to Diamond as Eddie Jones is to Alex Sanderson.
You mean the other way around?
You mean to
Lancaster is
Lancaster is to Jones what?
Sorry,
what Diamond is to Sanderson?
Yes.
I'm not having that. I'm not having that in a million years.
He laid the foundations, but he wasn't good enough.
I'm not having that. Not having that either. It's just different. It's different.
There's definite parallels,
and they built.
There
upon,
are no parallels.
They built upon what was
Stuart
already.
Lancaster.
They built upon what was already there, but
by definition,
Stuart Lancaster didn't get out of the World Cup pool. Eddie Jones went to a final. Steve Diamond didn't get into a playoff. Alex Anderson,
because of COVID.
Alex Anderson did
one COVID game. His whole career. The idea, just so you know, the idea of Stuart Lancaster and Steve Diamond being in any way analogous. I think both men have.
Well, it's the relationship though, because it's not it's not that they're analogous to one another. It's the relationship.
I tell you what is analogous. Eddie Jones to Steve Diamond and Stuart Lancaster to Alex Anderson. They've just inverted.
Success follows poor performance, though.
Right, so England's back five in the scrum is clear as mud at the minute, and I'm a bit concerned now. I look at that, to be honest.
Yeah,
Chesham's a quality player. I wouldn't have any problems with him. Yeah, although
an international debut in Edinburgh in the Calcutta Cup.
Yeah, you'd want him coming in, wouldn't you? Yeah, off the back of a really successful trophy winning campaign, and he's established himself as like the go to guy.
Mm. And, yeah,
in the same way that Don Brunt has.
And this kind of highlights the how odd it is, perhaps. Chesson, really talented guy, versatile, but you've already got George Martin in that position, who's been in and around the squad, and with an injury now to Courtney Laws, you'd suddenly go. Really, George Martin, Chesson, if there's not a lot to choose between them, would you not rather have the guy that you've been working with and on?
Although it is nice to see Nick Ezekwe potentially get another chance. Because his debut,
South Africa, Shepherd's Crook.
Was it 16 minutes?
I think it might be less than 30 minutes. But I could be getting him confused with Luther Burrell or Tamina Harrison.
Now, did he come off for Brad Shields?
Ooh.
No idea.
Because Brad Shields went second row. Yeah, so Brad Shields went second row. I assume that's Ezekwe, because if it was Harrison, he'd have just replaced Harrison like for like.
Mm. Harrison got the Shepherd's Crook in Australia.
And Luther.
And Big Luth.
Yeah.
Deary me. Deary me.
So I'm a little bit concerned about that.
The back row.
About the back row. But fine, we'll just part that centre partnership. I'm going to say, just leading off, with the players available, I think the way England finish the game against South Africa is the way they should start against Scotland.
That's Mark Atkinson?
Nope.
Oh, is it not?
Nope. When Manu Tuilagi went off, Henry Slade went to 12.
Oh, you're right, yeah. So you're saying...
Because I think had Farrell already injured himself the week before.
Yeah, yes, so it was Smith, right. Slade...
Marchand played 13.
Marchand started on the wing.
Yes.
But when Manu came on, I'm just looking at it now, Malins went onto the wing, Marchand moved to 13, Slade moved to 12.
So I'm saying Slade is 12.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are talking about, and I love Mark Atkinson, a lot of people are talking about Atkinson being that big guy like Esther Hazen is for Smith.
I don't like this.
But I think Slade's got it in him. Well, and his defence is solid.
Two things on this, right? Mark Atkinson is a bigger man than Slade. Like, he's taller. I do not believe he plays rugby like a big man.
He doesn't play like Esther Hazen.
So anybody who's saying to you, look at Esther Hazen, look at Atkinson, they're delusional. This is not the same player. They play the same.
I've said that a couple of times.
No, you haven't. You didn't mean it anyway. Right, that's just not what they do. Like, they're different. They're complete. Atkinson's all about soft hands, distribution. You know, he uses his size.
Esther Hazen's got soft hands.
He does have beautiful hands.
He has lovely hands. Like, you know, but that's his... His go-to is Route 1, but he can also use Route 1 as a foil for...
Yeah. He smashes over people and then he offloads. Whereas Mark Atkinson will take the line and then he'll use his go-go gadget arms, just reach around and then pass from the back. And
lovely distribution out the back to someone putting... Which is actually more how Farrell plays when he's playing in the distributing role as 12.
Yeah, I have no doubt that Atkinson will be fine. I think the biggest difference in the two might be the on defence. I say the two. I'm talking about Esther Hazen, not Farrell. Esther Hazen is a little bit more robust in defence compared to Atkinson.
Yes, that is definitely true. And Marcus Smith does sometimes need that robustness on both sides of him.
And so Farrell's out. If Marchant is unavailable as well...
Marchant is definitely going to be unavailable because he is now going into isolation.
Who are the options?
We're
back where we are with the back row.
Well, you've got Atkinson and Slade are the two main available.
Okay.
You've then got Luke Northmore.
Okay.
Who never played for England before.
No.
You've got... I mean, Orlando Bailey was named as a... utility player, 10-15, possibly centre. I don't think that's going to happen.
Eddie's talked about Jack Noel potentially being a 13.
Jack Noel could be a 13. You also mentioned Tommy Freeman. He's injured. He's injured his hamstring, so he's out. Ollie Hassel-Cornelins is big and strong enough, but doesn't play there.
Nope.
So it's you've not got that many.
Scotland are going to win. Scotland really are winning.
You've really not
I'm
got that many.
I'm really worried.
I'm so glad I don't care about international rugby.
I'm really worried.
If I really...
Phil, are you looking at this as I am?
I'm looking at it as an opportunity for all the boys to get experience in different positions.
Well, great diplomatic.
I think even with a full strength squad, Scotland are a very good team. So I think it would be a 55-45... If England had a full squad, so this I definitely think this pushes it in Scotland's favour.
He's going to be Atkinson Slade from those then.
Probably, I think Atkinson Slade is the most likely.
If Marchant was about, I'd have gone Slade Marchant.
Which is how they finished.
They're quite similar, aren't they, in what they do?
Yeah,
you'd want.
But then, if you have those two, the question then comes: in the Six Nations, in the Ultimate Internationals, Manu started the first game on the wing, then he came in to the centre, but then got injured almost immediately in the 8th minute, scoring his try against South Africa. So obviously he wants a body to carry, and in the past he's used Teo, he's used Ollie Lawrence. So he's going to want someone to carry. So is there anyone who can do it? And the two that strike me would be Noel or Ollie Hassel-Collins.
You're mad, Phil. You missed one.
Well, the Barbary or Simmons.
Barbary.
So
legitimately Barbary.
I was thinking maybe Barbary and Simmons are the centre partnership.
It does potentially, if you need certain jobs fulfilled within a game, it does lend a bit of strength to your Simmons and Curry and Dombrandt back row.
Yeah, or Simmons, Curry, Barbary.
Barbary has actually played 13.
Yeah.
Stop it. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Eddie Jones has said he wants players and he wants hybrid players, as he's described
them,
and referenced Jack Noel as potentially playing flanker or Simmons as potentially playing centre.
What is the difference between Barbary and Manu playing 13?
He's actually nearly a stone heavier than Manu. Barbary.
So he's better, is what you're
so
saying.
So he's more of the same.
So I'm trying to work this out. Who isn't in the squad that could make me feel not like we're not going to win?
Well, in the centres, There's not many.
No, there isn't.
Who would you bring in?
Everything you say about England having incredible depth and quality, in some positions we don't.
Well, you could inside centre being the one.
You could go Billy Twelve Trees. You could have Sam Hill.
You see what I mean?
You could have Dingwall.
Kelly.
Dan Kelly's a nice player.
Dan Kelly is a nice player. He's worked on his passing range. Yeah. I think he won't be that far off having an England coach.
Well, he's not
training.
That far off. You're not that far off right now.
Ollie Lawrence.
That's a weird one. I thought there'd be room for him.
Yeah.
JJ could come back in, potentially.
Yeah.
Shame about that Redpath fella, because he'd be useful right now.
He would be handy.
He would be handy.
Yeah.
A Jomo.
Oh, don't play with my heart.
Is Ben Teo still playing in... Slade, the Sun Wolves?
Slade 12, Ajomo 13.
No, Ajomo starts at 12, Slade can go to 13. Whether Ajomo's got the defensive capability or not,
man, I'm scared. I'm worried. I'm really worried.
Give Max a call.
Looking at Scotland as well, they're legit. I mean, I'm really excited. Let's talk about it. Well, the telly in the build-up is just going to be Finn Russell, Marcus Smith. Understandably so. They are box office.
And they're... They're comparable in the way that they play as well.
Well, they are going forward. I don't think they are defensively. I don't think they are decision-making-wise.
They're not the same player.
Yeah.
But there's definitely comparisons to be made there with their talents.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, that is fair. What about Scotland squad? So, obviously, Hogg will be around as the captain.
He might be there or thereabouts.
The pack... See, this is the difference, isn't it? They can get players and sort of work with them until such a point that they're very comfortable as a combination.
They've got options in several positions. They're maybe a prop or two light in the whole squad.
I think that's fair, because WP Nil, as good a player as he has been...
WP Nil.
He's 35 now.
It's coming to his prime, isn't he?
Maybe another few years until if he gets on your CrossFit routine.
Exactly.
He's got two more years until prime.
He's had a lifetime of growing up, eating those porridge oats, and
he'll be all right.
Running around the Highlands. He'll be fine for a couple more years.
Xander Ferguson is legitimately a wonderful tight head prop.
Yeah.
Beyond that, Rory Sutherland is also a very good loose head prop, and then it does get a little bit weaker. The front row.
Yeah, it does.
They've got very good hooker options.
Really good hooker options, yeah.
McAnally, George Turner, Ewan Ashman are good, very good players.
Bergman can't even get in. He's great as well.
Mm.
Tell you what, Ewan Ashman right now would be a great option for England. A great option.
England aren't worried about hookers.
Yeah, hookers England are doing okay.
Locks and centres.
How is England short on locks of all the positions? Of all the positions.
Launch pre-Cruise.
Yeah. Get Cruise back. But yeah, the Scotland squad is not bad. Good options at lock. Great options in the back row. Interestingly, you mentioned this on the last podcast, there's only one named fly half in the squad. In Finn Russell.
Finn Russell. Because the second fly half is not Adam Hastings, it's Blair Kinghorn.
Excellent.
And then presumably, if those two go down, then Cam Redpath would be asked to step up.
Cam Redpath. I did not rate him at Sale. It's hard to rate anyone from Bath, actually. But he does look a much better player in Bath.
He's only played the last couple of games, hasn't he? Because he was out for...
He has these little touches of magic. Like, he seems to be able to unlock things.
Yeah, he's got such fast hands and good distribution. Like, his pass for the... it was Woolmuir's second try.
There's
this week,
one he
wasn't
scored.
It was lovely.
I say he scored. I can't remember if he offloaded for it or dummied for it against Newcastle Stop, maybe last season or this season. Just a wizard when he wants to be. He's like 95% boring right decision making and 5% magical.
So, after all that... JB, you're not an Englishman, so you're not blinded by Tim and my despair.
Just to pick up what you said, when you look at the back line, it's so settled and so solid.
They've got some nice options. The Scotland back line is,
Russell, Johnston, Harris.
Yeah, and then if you get rid of those, you've got Mark Bennett, Hutchinson comes in. Yeah. No, no, not even a place for Hugh Jones, who's been playing some nice stuff.
Yeah, his feet on Friday. My God.
Awesome.
And then they're great in the back three.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Duane, Darcy Graham, you've got to be on your, King on your, Horn,
and you've
got
to be on metal in the backs, because if they start Harris, he will mess you up.
Yeah.
He will mess you up. Not with massive smashes so much, getting in your passing channels, intercepting the ball, being in places that you shouldn't be. You've got to be very smart around that.
Scotland, I don't want this to happen. Scotland are winning this one.
Hmm. I'd be happy to see it. It'd be wonderful for our friends north of the border.
What's your prediction, JB?
They're in Edinburgh.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
Show me the teams, but I think...
You're so afraid to predict anything these days.
I need to see the teams. Because, like, you never know.
Yeah, we're doing this a week in advance. Of course we need to see the teams.
I still think England. Thing is, I don't watch... In fact, I say I don't watch enough URC. I've seen precisely zero URC this year.
So you didn't see Ulster's wonderful win this weekend against Scarlets?
Didn't even know they played. It's hard to say, isn't it? I see them occasionally in Europe. So if they're not playing their Premiership players, you know, it's hard to know what they're about.
They will be playing their Premiership players.
And how many of them do they have? Barron's not there. Hastings isn't there.
Redpath and Harris. Hoggy.
Skinner.
Duane van der Merwe.
Skinner.
Ben White.
Nathan Hines.
Is a Premiership player. No Nathan Hines.
No.
Andy Christie. Josh Bayliss.
Andy Christie's a cool player.
Sam Skinner. Johnny Gray. Rory Sutherland.
Yeah.
So quite a lot.
Ashman.
I've maybe been getting down on
England. Almost pick a Premiership.
I actually think that Scotland are going to win this now.
I've been getting a bit down. I still think Scotland will edge it. But I've been getting a bit down maybe on England. And actually, I'm thinking about it. We've still got Luke Cowan-Dickie is going to just rip it up. You've got Marrow in the pack.
Bevan Rudd.
Genji.
You like that?
Genj, Cowan-Dickie and Marrow is... And Tom Curry.
What about Sinks?
That is a ferocious...
What about Sinks?
Well, no, I'm just picking those four. In your pack, you've got Genj, Cowan-Dickie...
Hang on.
Itoje and Curry. That is frightening.
But you just go from the...
I feel much better. Forget it.
Just look at the front row. England. Legitimately, can you think of a more dynamic carrying front row in the world than those three?
Genj, Cowan-Dickie and Sinclair.
Yeah. I mean, if they hit the heights that they can... Christ, they get over the game. They look at a game line and they get over it.
I'd be more worried about the scrum struggling, actually.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Agreed with that.
Which is why I wonder how they'll do Marla Genj.
I'm interested to see what back line he goes for, because of the... We kind of hinted it before, but the way that the back line's set up in the autumn, with Manu on the wing one game and then Marchand on the wing the next game, and then Malin's coming in and playing a bit of everywhere, and Slade playing at 12 or 13 but sitting in the backfield most of the game. Two playmakers, with often it was Farrell being first playmaker for Smith coming around the back and then Smith coming for Farrell. Albeit I think that combination only really happened in the Australia game.
Malin's going to start fullback. I've decided that now. I've decided in my mind that Malin's...
Stewart. Pretty Stewart.
And hear me out here.
I think Malin should start because he's such a good player. But where are you going to find room for him?
Hear me out, right? This is why Malin starts. Malin starts because of the almighty churn in the England squad looking for the right combinations. And the one guy you know you can trust to perform in any scenario, in any position, is going to be Malin's. I think he starts just for that reason.
And that's why he's number 23 generally.
I
actually would consider starting him on the wing with Noel on the other, potentially.
Yeah, I'm sure he starts.
We're saying he'll start fullback. That's not going to happen.
Well, he's only going to start at 13, I don't think, because...
No, but Freddie Stewart is wearing 15.
Yeah, I think Stewart has just made that his own. And because he's so tall and so good in the air.
So where does
Malin
start? Wing?
Possibly wing with Noel.
Wing's his shot to start, but Eddie Jones has shown for a long period of time he loves Johnny May.
I'll put fiver on it, though.
Is he not out, though? Johnny May's out.
Is he?
He's out of the tournament.
Yeah, he is.
That's why Radwan and Liner are called up.
I thought they were called up because of Marchant being positive.
Marchant and May.
He's made definitely out.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a fiver with whoever will take it right now, that Malin starts and he starts at fullback.
At fullback.
I'll take that bet.
Because I think... There you go, Phil.
I'll take it as well.
I'll take that bet.
Not both of you.
What we've got next weekend in the podcast, you can make us a whiskey sour or something.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And in the pod.
Yeah, well...
When you lose that bet.
I will not lose that bet. He'll start at fullback.
Hmm.
Yeah, because you want him on the field... It doesn't matter where he plays. He's
oh,
sort of,
yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I've just... Johnny May faces specialist visit on knee injury.
Yeah.
So let me just update my spreadsheet. Johnny May, red.
It's big.
Dead.
Don't you love it?
Why have you got a spreadsheet?
Don't you love
it? Fancy rugby?
No, just...
I've just got one.
Just keeping tracks.
Okay.
That's fine. That's two...
Perfectly normal. That's absolute perfectly normal behaviour.
That's two...
What's wrong with that?
World-class calibre... players. I'm not saying they're at a world class level right now, but Farrell and May out is that's big.
It is big.
That's
it
big.
Is. Okay. Okay. Right. Let's move
sorry,
on.
Sorry, Scotland.
Give me England.
Okay.
I think it's 55-45, probably in Scotland's favour, but give me England.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Who else is playing the? I know nothing about successions. Who else is playing this weekend?
So the opening game of the weekend is in Dublin. It's Ireland hosting Wales.
Right, Ireland, I guess.
I think Ireland are going to win the tournament.
I do think so.
Ireland or France?
France. I think France are going to win the tournament. I think Ireland are going to come second. I mean, the way that Ireland played in the autumn, they played brilliantly against Japan, which. You think maybe it's just a poor Japan team, but then the way they played against the All Blacks was it's the best they've played for
but
years
they get up
and
for
years.
The All Blacks, don't they?
But they also get up exactly the halfway point between two World Cups, so that they've peaked. They peak
and they're on the downward.
Yeah,
so maybe
second for this tournament as they continue to slide ahead
I'm
to the next World
to
Cup.
Slide to an inevitable quarterfinal in
played,
the World Cup.
They were so good because they've had. For quite a while, they've had a very tough, well-organised physical pack, and they've got one of the best starting front rows in the world, actually. Yeah, right. Furlong, Kelleher and Porter are just class.
Talk about ball-carrying, powerful front rows, alive.
Awesome. But they also wove into that physicality in the set piece this lovely running game and offloading game.
Do you know what really, really gets me excited? Really, I mean, no, you don't understand, Phil. Really gets me excited.
Tactical CrossFit apparel.
Actually, yes, that does get me really excited.
I hate that, by the way. I love CrossFit.
Anything olive green, I'm wearing it.
I love CrossFit, but stuff with it's camouflage.
I don't go camouflage. I'm not there yet.
Camo is a bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit on the nose. It's a little bit stolen valor, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I have some. I have some of the wrist wraps because, and I accept
camouflage. What urban camo?
I accept. I need to strengthen that, but quite often when I'm lifting and stuff, I just like my wrist position is weak.
I definitely haven't had that.
So I have the wraps, but I will never ever. It's like I cycle and I've got a road bike and I love cycling, but I've said I will never wear.
Bib shorts.
Lycra all
well involved. Done. The money's stamped.
I will
ended.
Never do it.
So I've got a small problem.
What's your small problem?
So my small problem is I do CrossFit with a guy who is a legitimate Royal Marine. And not only that, he was a very good Royal Marine.
They're all good.
Yeah, but I can't tell you anymore. I don't know what I can say. You've said too much already. Yeah, I'm not going to die, right? But my mate Jack is awesome at CrossFit. And also as a Royal Marine. So I could never get away with wearing camouflage. It would just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Definite stolen valour there.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But as for CrossFit, I will never wear neoprene knee supports, which they all do. They wear double, both knee supports. No.
No, I won't do that. I won't wear wrist wraps. No, that's not true. I would wear wrist wraps if I thought they looked cool enough. I've not found the right ones yet. I don't think any knee support, other than full Stone Cold Steve Austin knee supports, look good.
And camouflage socks is a weird one.
Love it. I'm into that.
The CrossFit socks are weird.
I've got so many CrossFit socks.
The designs are terrible.
Oh no, I've got a whole range of CrossFit socks.
CrossFit stash is awful.
I've got pink socks to go with my pink t-shirt. I've got olive green ones to go with my olive t-shirt. I've got some orange ones. I think orange is a good workout colour.
You're there to work. You're not there to...
Incorrect.
Yeah, you're there to work.
Work and peacock.
Yeah. Well, work and peacock. Do you have some of the gymnastic over the bar little things?
Over the bar little things?
Like the
oh, well, the grips!
The leather gymnastic grips.
Of course I've got grips. Not an animal.
Didn't you get some carbon fibre or something?
Carbon fibre, yeah, that's nice. Right.
You need some, because when you don't...
It makes one hell of a difference.
My hands are a right mess.
You need to toughen your hands up. That's what you need to do.
So
back to Wales Island.
Yeah, Wales
so
Island.
What really excites me about Ireland, and Leinster, to be fair, is when they line up their massive front row on a short side, and there's some dorky little winger and his centre mates trying to cover these three absolutely rampaging monsters who also have beautiful soft hands.
I have no idea if
Cronin and Porter...
Kelleher
or...
Furlong.
If they're going to do these little nice tip-ons, or they're just going to run back. They just don't know what they're going to do. All they know is going to end horrendously badly for them. It's brilliant, you know. It's one of the... When Leinster do it, and I don't know if it's a planned move, I've seen it a few times, I don't know if they plan to do it, but it's just so effective.
But those names, Ryan, Byrne, Armani, Van der Fleer...
Yeah, they're all good, but here's my theory.
Caelan Doris.
My theory is they're finishing...
Conan, oh man.
Bottom half, fourth or fifth.
No.
Well,
not this island team.
I'm pretty sure they are, so that's the end of that discussion.
They got a number of people in the pack alone. They've got a number of people that are the best in their position Six Nations.
They're not battle-hardened. They'd have, particularly in Leinster, they've had one or two skirmishes in Europe. They don't play that much in the URC. The URC isn't a competition worthy of their talents at the moment, frankly. They're going to come into this, and the first game is going to be almost like a warm-up for them, whereas the English and the French are already battle-hardened and ready to go.
Well, it's a good job they've got a warm-up against...
Wales.
Yes. Yeah. And Wales, in the past, have had just this array of ageing stars who Wales are managing to get the best out of their career. There's not that many of them left.
There's not.
No, certainly not that many of them are fit for this tournament.
Nope.
So, no Ken Owens.
Yep.
No Alan Wynn. No Faletau. No Tipperick.
Warburton, is he around?
No Warburton.
No.
No Lydiot.
Gareth Thomas?
But Jarvis. There is.
Gareth Thomas is in the... There is a Gareth Thomas in the squad.
Oh, fantastic news.
Do you know where he plays?
No idea.
He's a prop for the Ospreys.
Oh, awesome. Well, but, go well.
Shane Howarth.
Shane Howarth is in there.
Cobain is in there.
Brent Cobain.
Yes. So I would not like to comment on what Wales are going to do, because I don't know, and no one does until they show up. The fact that they're champions isn't a complete... And, you know, how that happened, I still don't understand 12 months on. So... Yeah, maybe they... I've got no idea. If anyone tells you they know what Wales are going to be like this year, I don't know. Maybe Wales will be fifth and Ireland fourth.
I can't believe you're putting Ireland that far down.
Yeah.
Well, there's only six places, and I think that Scotland...
Italy sixth.
Yeah.
Ireland are stacked.
Yeah, I don't think
they're ready. They are frightening.
Scotland have got loads of Premiership-based players are ready to go. England and France. Those are your three teams. Top three of some sort.
I feel like I might have done England down, because I keep thinking about Curry, Itoje. Cowan, Dickey and Genge.
Yeah.
Oh, they're frightening. But and Marcus Smith
as well. Don't forget Marcus Smith. He's going to be running the show.
Ireland would kill for Marcus Smith, by the way.
Most teams would, to be fair. But yeah, Ireland... Johnny Sexton is still the best player, the best 10 in Ireland.
What would Marcus... If Marcus Smith
for
was
how much
Scottish,
longer?
Marcus Smith was Scottish, what would they do?
I don't know. Would he get in the team?
Number 22.
Yeah. Finn Russell probably would be starting ahead of him.
Yeah, Finn Russell's got the experience. Yeah, I don't...
And probably if he was French, he might be maybe third choice for France.
Wow.
France.
So how are we saying the Wales Ireland game's going?
No idea.
I think Ireland by two scores.
Ireland by nine.
It sounds right that Ireland would win. Wales are often so hard to call in Six Nations.
Wales do. They always seem to step it up in the Six Nations.
Yeah, regardless
years
of who's
and
playing,
years and years and years, and regardless of how badly they did in the Autumn Internationals,
which is usually terrible.
And it's normally inversely. Correlated with how horrible the regions are. So the more horrible the regions are, the more infighting, the better they do in the tournament.
And maybe it is that. It's such a snake pit. They're so happy to be out of those environments.
8 weeks away from it.
Yes,
8 weeks.
No more awful URC, no more awful regions, no more snake pit. Just get some friends and play.
8 weeks of driving golf cars up and down the motorway.
Exactly. Partying in Cardiff. Drakeford's going to let us go out of our hotel rooms
for 3 hours a day.
And even better, we might even get somewhere else and party. Even better.
What are Wales going to do with their centres? Because their back three is ridiculous. Dan Biggar is just a legendary
George North
hero.
At 13, maybe?
Is he back playing?
No. I have no idea.
So
their halfbacks are awesome. Their back three is awesome.
Yeah, Liam Williams, Reece Sammet and Josh Adams. It kind of picks itself, the back
That's
three.
Pretty good, isn't it?
The centres, so JD, too, is fit and available.
Not the player he was, but he's still great.
He's
Tompkins, Halaholo and Watkin are the other options.
Mm.
So, historically, I quite liked Watkin when he played. I like them all. I think they're all good.
Good options.
I'd love Nick Tompkins in an England squad right now.
You like Owen Watkin in England squad right
now? Yeah,
right
I know, now. But he's not English, but... Nick Tompkins is.
He's actually English. Played under 20s, didn't
Well, he? Hey, fingers crossed, mate, with the new World Rugby rules.
I was thinking about this just today, actually, because Freddie Burns, presumably, is now available for Ireland. Because he's not played for England since about 2015.
Tell you what, he wouldn't
actually be the worst option.
Well, there is another option, which we keep referring to for Ireland, that they're not going to do, but they should do. And they should move on and find a way to have a certain other fly half.
Exactly.
Return to.
It's not going to happen.
I don't know. Look, if AJ McGinty shelves his American ambitions.
He's probably played in the last 6 months, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, he did, yeah. I think he played in. Because there was World Cup qualifying games, wasn't there, last year? So he definitely played in the last 6 months.
He wants to take care of it. He doesn't want to give them any reason to take away his dual nationality American passport, which you got.
Yeah, you don't.
So that is a golden ticket right there. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
So we're all saying Ireland.
Yeah, comfortably. Wales are great.
Sitting on the fence.
Okay.
Are they in Dublin?
No.
Yes.
Oh, it's got to be Ireland.
It has to be Ireland. And then the final game, which is on the Sunday, 4 o'clock kickoff.
No, I don't care.
On Sunday.
Because Italy are going to get panned.
France host Italy.
Absolutely.
It's going to be 40 points.
If I'm going to have a France game against Italy, give it me the first weekend of the Six Nations. So I'm still excited about France. There's nothing worse than being excited about a team than finding out that they're playing Italy. Italy, France, first weekend, I will take it. I'm happy with that.
The kits all look great. It will feel great in the stadium and stuff, but then the rugby will start. And the anthems are amazing.
And France will
both
be
anthems are incredible, and then it will just be a procession.
Pernod will be running in tries.
Pernod and Tamac Dupont are going to just. And then what's
they've got
face?
Some of the most incredible talent.
Jaminet, Lebel, Villiers, Teddy Thomas is back in the squad.
You always forget, and you can't believe he's still like mid to late 20s.
Michalak.
No, the centre.
Fiku. Still 27.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Been playing for 100 years. 27. This France squad is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's so much talent right across the... like, in every position, they're just some of the best players in Europe.
And to make the point I've made 1,000 times, they've brought in a homegrown quota system for their domestic league sides. They've got 3 professional leagues now. There's a blueprint which works. Look at the results. Well, that France squad is insane.
Well, but that's not results, actually. If the squad is insane,
the results aren't insane.
The results are.
It's insane how they haven't done better.
Yes, correct. And I think they're going to this tournament favourites. I think they're going into the World Cup at the moment favourites. But they've got to win stuff.
Yeah, and they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, so there'll be a bit of pressure on them to win this. I think they are favourites for this, but there's pressure on them to actually get the results.
If only we could watch this somewhere like Portugal or some such thing.
Watch the final.
I'm not bothered about watching France-Italy. If there's a Premiership game on, I'll watch a Premiership game.
I'm bothered about watching the final.
Yeah,
On the 19th of March.
I'm going to watch the anthems of that one and then just have a little doze.
And watch Wasps.
Wasps, yeah.
I think I'll do the same, actually.
I'll still watch it.
I'm not... What's the point in Italy being in this competition?
Don't be such a cynic.
It's revenue, and it's getting an opportunity to pick some fringe players. Is the point of it. That is brutally honest. That's the point of Italy in the competition.
At the time, if we cast back to 1999, 2000, it was genuine ambitions that in the timescales that we've already had this 20-plus years, they would be able to make some leaps from being a poor rugby nation on the international stage. A tier 2 rugby nation to a tier 1 rugby nation. Let's badge it as that.
And it started out well, didn't they? Beat Scotland and France in their opening couple of years.
And they've had some good results over the years, but you can probably count on one hand the number of times that they've not finished bottom.
Yeah. So, Alan Dimmock, who now does the ruck, and I think that really lifts the whole product, was interviewing a Georgian fella. I think it's president of Georgia or some such thing. Not the president.
I think he was chatting to some guy in America.
The president?
Joe Biden.
Yeah, about rugby. It was incredible. And this guy said, if only we give more... if only we got more tier one chances, we'd be competitive in 3 or 4 years, which is a nice thought, but we've seen it with Italy.
It's delusional,
what happens.
I think because Georgia, while they are a very good team, you've got some very good players, when they do play tier one nations, they too tend to get beaten up quite badly by the end of it.
And what they've done with this latest squad is go, let's get the kids in.
Yeah,
and that
always works well.
Yeah, it always works well. The thought is it'll pay off in the long run. I just don't think it does.
Well,
at this level,
Italy are the current holders of the Rainbow Cup. So I think you should treat them with a bit more respect.
Mm. The what cup? The Rayburn.
The Rainbow.
Rainbow Cup, yes.
Where they beat, like,
the Mushroom Cup.
Mushroom Cup, whatever it is.
Yeah, where Benetton beat the Bulls.
Very highly coveted URC product. Very highly coveted.
Yes, a very good point.
I really hope I look stupid by being down on England and being down on Italy. I hope Italy give up a really spirited performance and England win. I just don't know if it might not serve. If Italy got some really talented youngsters, would it not serve them better to be playing against Georgia and developing in that? Because what are those kids going to learn by getting... there you go. You've just been absolutely smashed.
The answer is, Tim, I don't know. I don't even wish to find out.
Yeah.
Jimmy,
Vaca Towers just ended you. Well done.
What can you tell us about the new Italy captain?
Great question. Presumably he plays in Italy.
He does.
And presumably he'll play for one of their two teams.
He does.
It'd be ludicrous if he's playing for Parma. So, based on that, I think he is probably playing at Benetton.
Correct.
And he's almost certainly going to be a back row.
Correct.
So, Is he Italian heritage? Yes, he is. And that he is distinct for not being Bram Steyn. I think that's fair to say. So
he's not Bram Steyn.
He's not an eight. He must be a six. So yeah, he's a very good six. But my deductive reasoning is the Italian captain is a six.
Who plays for Benetton?
Yes.
I think he's maybe a seven. But
oh God, I've ruined it.
Yes, but everything else was accurate. And he's only 23.
Yeah, I heard he's a young lad. Well, did I just assume that?
I think you deduced that.
Yeah, I deduced that.
Lamaro,
yeah. Michele Lamaro.
Michele.
I don't know anything about him. So I wondered if you, as a massive,
huge
Benetton fan, would be able to tell me.
I've not been watching as much URC this year as I should do.
Well, because you pay your subscription every year to Premier Sports.
I don't know why.
And the less games you watch, or the few games you watch.
Do you know what Italy's world ranking is?
No.
13?
Oh no, they're up a place.
Are they?
To 14.
14.
Pretty good that.
Behind Georgia.
Here's the interesting thing. So, if you're in the Rugby Championship or the Six Nations, those are the two tier one tournaments. You really should be in the top 10 because they're the ten teams.
The teams that aren't in those competitions that
Fiji,
are above them.
Fiji, Japan,
Georgia, and
USA,
Samoa. No.
Samoa?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh. Italy are below Samoa in the world rankings.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they are just marginally ahead of Romania.
Pretty good. Now, Romania, Italy... I mean, look, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, let's just get us done with.
Yes.
Let's get it finished.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Let's get it finished. I'm sorry, Sunday.
That's absolutely fine.
It's just dawned on me. There's not going to be that much premiership going on over the Six Nations, and this is going to be my future for the next month and a bit.
We can talk about... We can do... Do you remember when we had no games last year when the world came to an end and we started talking about... old international games. We should just talk about old Premiership games.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
the famous 6-3.
Yeah.
6-3. We could rewatch.
Thing is, I will
Bath
be in
Bath 3, Sale 6.
I will be into this tournament by week 3 when all the storylines are developed and people are playing well and stars are born and all the rest of it. I just think at the very start of it, it's so different. It's so difficult to know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. Well, and anyone who tells you that... I can't imagine there's a single individual in the world who can watch enough rugby to tell you who's going to be good. Because the players are just too... You can watch URC and Premiership. You can watch URC and France. You can watch France and England. I think it's almost impossible to know what every one of these teams... Oh, I forgot Italy as well. It's
URC.
Almost, yeah. Well, yeah, URC, but like a lot of people watch URC and only watch the island provinces or only watch the Welsh provinces or regions. So on and so forth. So it is very, very difficult. And you don't know what you're going to see until, I'd say, week 2.
I'll just say one thing that I found a little bit depressing, and that is that the launch of the 2022 Six Nations was done remotely on a Zoom call.
Did they have hologram Alan Wynne-Jones?
I'd have been up for the holograms. That would have been awesome. But final one, on Stash Watch, I'm ranking... Ireland at the bottom, followed by England in fifth, Wales in fourth, Italy third, Wales second, France first.
There we go.
I do like that French kit.
Let's see the kits. Yeah, fine.
France kit's gorgeous.
Yeah, they look awesome.
Just that bright blue.
And in the 2022 Rugby Europe Championship.
Now we're talking, yes.
The Tier 2 Six Nations.
Here we go.
This week's fixtures are Romania host Russia.
Awesome.
Ooh, Soviet rivalry. Spain host the Netherlands, who are in the tournament this year.
Good.
Nice.
In one of our favourite places to watch rugby in Madrid.
I bet Netherlands don't lack locks.
No, I bet they don't.
Yeah. And Georgia host Portugal.
Georgia.
Which will be a big home win in 50,000 people watching Georgia
crush
smash Portugal. Although Portugal, bit of a renaissance last few years.
So, stupid question. Where's Germany? Not geographically, of course. And where is Belgium?
Let's have a look at last year's tournament.
They must both be in the league below now. Germany, one of the best kits in world rugby.
Yes, agreed on that.
Yeah, so this is
the best logo in rugby anywhere.
Dennis, hit me up, mate. Tell me where Germany are and why Belgium aren't in the Tier 2 Six Nations.
So this is a 2-year cycle because it counts as qualification.
That's right. It is, yeah.
So Belgium got relegated in 2020. And Germany must have been 2019. Yeah, Germany went down and Portugal went up in 2019.
And we watched Germany in Marseille in an eliminator to qualify for...
Well, it wasn't an eliminator. It was an eliminator for Spain, I think. So Spain had to beat Germany. Germany
no,
would
that
never...
That was the repechage. That was...
No.
In Marseille.
The repechage. Oh, sorry.
In Marseille.
Yeah, that wasn't Spain.
It
Spain
wasn't Spain.
Already through.
Yeah, it was Germany.
Germany
played Hong Kong to go through to
Germany, Canada, Kenya, and Hong Kong were the four, and they were playing for the last spot in the
World
Cup.
That's right, yeah.
And it was that weekend, so they've been playing for three consecutive weekends in Marseille, and that weekend only Canada and Hong Kong still had the chance to qualify, and Canada beat Hong Kong.
Correct. And it was biblical levels of rain, and there were rats the size of dogs.
I'll never go back to Marseille. I'll never go back to
the European Cup finals in Marseille, and the shots they keep showing looks lovely.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there must be amazing parts of Marseille that we just didn't go to.
Look, I bet in the summer parts of it are incredible.
You can make Liverpool look good with certain shots. You know, so
Liverpool's a cool city.
Oh, behave.
Some lovely parts of Liverpool.
You did a pod on a stag do in Liverpool.
I gave Liverpool a hard time last time I went.
Down an alleyway by a bin the back of a KFC, I think.
I gave Liverpool a hard time. Actually, last time I went, it was awesome. And
I love an hour.
Awesome too.
Love an hour like in it. Liverpool.
I like it.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Perfect.
Hope
you're as excited for Six Nations as I am. Here we go. Strap in. It's going to be one hell of a ride.
Let the boys play.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.